नमाओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चादेशतारणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So today's very auspicious day. This appearance day of Srila Jiva Goswami and also the divine appearance day of Lord Vamanadeva. So Srila Jiva Goswami, Sri Sanatana, Sri Rupa, and Sri Vallabha were three brothers, all employed in the service of Badshah Hussein Shah during Lord Chaitanya's time. Among the three, there was only one descendant, Sri Jiva. So this is just a short little description about Jiva Goswami. Having been rewarded by the Badsa for their service, their household life was very opulent. There was nothing lacking in whatever was necessary for the upbringing of their only son. The house was illumined by the effulgence of the child's golden complexion. His eyes were like the expanded petals of the lotus. Every part of his body was graced with lustrous, radiant splendor. When Sri Gaurasundar came to Ramakeli, Sri Jiva was blessed by having darshan of his worshipable Lord. Though he was just a baby at the time, placing the dust of his lotus feet in the child's head, Mahaprabhu indicated him to be the future sovereign preceptor of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Though he was only a child, Sri Jiva kept the form of the Lord, which fascinates all the world within his heart. As he grew up, while eating, lying down, in his dreams, while he was awake, at all times he would meditate on that form. Later on, when his father and uncles renounced their family life in order to be with Mahaprabhu, the only child, Sri Jiva, was left with his mother in the family palace of Fatehabad, lying in her lap, which was wet with tears of separation. He gradually began to grow as the waxing moon. Seeing that the mother and the child's face were always wet with tears, their friends also fell under the shadow of sadness, and only with great difficulty managed to assuage their grief. Whenever Sri Jiva would remember his father and uncles or the lotus feet of Sri Gaudahari, he would lose consciousness and fall to the ground. As he got a little older, Sri Jiva took up the worship of the deities of Sri Sri Ramakrishna. He would carefully decorate them, offer bhoga and artik, serving them with his full attention. Even in his play, whatever games he played were connected with Sri Krishna's pastimes. While studying under the local pandits, he became proficient in grammar, poetry, and rhetoric. Noting his great intellect, his teachers commented, "Such brilliance is not often found in a child so young as this. No doubt he will be a very highly souled, saintly person." Even while engaged in his studies, Jiva always thought of Sri Sri Nitai Gauranga. Once he saw in a dream that Sri Ramakrishna had taken the forms of Nitai Gauranga and were dancing. giving him the dust of their lotus feet, the two lords then disappeared. Having seen such a wonderful dream, Sri Jiva was consoled somewhat. Then he began to think, when will I be able to crawl out of this well of family life and devote my full time and energy, my very self, to serving these two most magnanimous lords? But he was the only son of the family. Only in his company could his mother forget somewhat the pangs of separation in her heart. When Sri Jiva learned that his father had given up his life on the banks of the Ganga, he was completely unsettled. After that, his eyes were never dry. The family members and friends tried to console him, but to little avail. Family life had become the source of his utter sadness. Someone suggested to Jiva to go to Navadvipa and bathe himself in the coolness emanating from the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, so that his mind and body, burning with grief, could be refreshed. Thus, Sri Jiva set out for Navadvipa with a group of pilgrims. Nityananda Prabhu, the omniscient Lord, could understand that Sri Jiva was on his way to Navadvipa. Therefore, he also left for there from Kardaha. After a few days, Jiva arrived at Navadvipa. Seeing the beauty of that place, he was charmed. Falling down on the ground, he offered his dandavats to Mother Ganga. Inquiring from the villagers the directions to Mayapur, he learned that Nityananda Prabhu was residing at Srivas Pandit's house. At last arriving there, he fell down at the door to offer his dandavats. Nityananda Prabhu came out with Srivas Pandit and picked him up and embraced him, asking, "Are you the nephew of Sri Rupa and Sri Sanatan?" As an answer, Jiva again fell down on the ground at the lotus feet of Nityananda Prabhu. This time Nityananda Prabhu brought him in the house and began to inquire after the welfare of his family in Fatehabad. Then Sri Jiva was introduced to the devotees present in Navadvipa. He offered his salutations at their lotus feet. Everyone was very happy to meet the nephew of Sri Rupa and Sanatan. That day, Sri Jiva received the remnants of Nityananda Prabhu's prasadam. The next day, the two of them came to Sachimata's house. Seeing the birthplace of Sri Gaura Sundar, which was filled with such splendor, Sri Jiva was greatly pacified and fell down on the ground to roll in the dust. In the large courtyard, the devotees were singing songs praising the glories of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Seeing Nityananda Prabhu, everyone stood up and then fell down, offering their dandavats at his lotus feet. Then Jiva saw Sachimata sitting on the veranda, dressed in white with silk chadar around her shoulders. She looked radiant. The white of her hair blended with her white sari, though her body trembled with old age and was very thin, still the courtyard was illumined by her divine effulgence. Forgetting herself in remembrance of Sri Gaura Sundar, she was sitting with her eyes closed. Becoming aware that Nityananda Prabhu had arrived, she covered her head with the sari and called her servant, "Ishan, Sripad has arrived. Please wash his feet." After this was done, Nityananda offered namaskar to the mother of the Supreme Lord and took his seat. Then he introduced Sri Jiva to her. Sachimata placed her hand on his head to bless him. Sri Jiva floated in the ocean of happiness. Sachimata then requested the two of them to honor the Lord's prasad. "Take prasad here at your mother's house today, my children. I offer these preparations in secret to Sri Gaura Chandra." Sri Jiva spent some days with Nityananda Prabhu, touring the 9 islands of Navadvipa in order to have darshan in the holy places of the Lord's pastimes there. Then, as ordered by Nityananda Prabhu, he set out for Kashi, Varanasi. At Kashi, he studied Vedanta under Sri Madhusudan Vichaspati, a disciple of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. The conclusions of Vedanta contained in Srimad Bhagavatam that were expounded by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sarvabhauma in Puri had in turn taught by the Bhattacharya to Madhusudan Vichaspati, who established a toll at Kashi. From him, Sri Jiva mastered the same conclusions. From here, Sri Jiva set out for Sri Vrindavan, where he received the shelter at the lotus feet of his 2 uncles, Sri Rupa and Sanatan. They were very pleased to see him, received from him all the news. Jiva stayed with Rupa Goswami, who began to teach him Srimad Bhagavatam. After initiating him with the divine mantra, Rupa engaged him in the service of Sri Sri Radha Damodar. According to Sadhana Deepika, this deity of Damodar was fashioned by Rupa Goswami's own hand for his dear disciple Sri Jiva. Sri Sri Radha Damodar are presently being worshipped in Jaipur, Rajasthan. Seeing that Jiva had quickly become conversant with the conclusion of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Rupa engaged him in proofreading his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. At this time, Sri Jiva compiled a commentary on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu called Durgama Sadamani. In the year 1476 Shakabda, Sri Sanatana Goswami compiled Sri Vaishnav Toshani, a commentary on the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which he gave to Sri Jiva for proofreading. Under the order of Sri Sanatan, Sri Jiva compiled a commentary on that named Lagu Vaishnava Toshini in the year 1500 Shakabda. His writings, along with those of Sri Rupa and Sanatan, Sri Gopal Bhatta, Sri Raghunath Bhatta, Sri Raghunath Das, Sri Krishna Das, Sri Kasheshwar Pandit, and Sri Madhupani completely captivated the learned men of that time. It was the beginning of the golden age of Sri Brajadam. Sri Jiva regularly brought water for Sri Rupa and Sanatana's bath. He massaged their heads with oil, cleaned their ashram, worshipped the deity, cooked and corrected manuscripts. After the disappearance of Sri Rupa and Sanatan, Sri Jiva continued the tradition that they had inaugurated. Once Sri Jiva traveled to Agra to debate with the Rajputs concerning the glories of Jamuna and Ganga rivers. He established that Jamuna is more glorious than the Ganga, as the Ganga emanates from Krishna's lotus feet, whereas the Jamuna is his consort. At this, the Mughal emperor was very much satisfied and wanted to present him something. Sri Jiva replied that he would accept some blank papers. So the emperor presented Jiva some stained paper. At that time, paper was rare, and most manuscripts were usually composed on leaves. There's also a legend that once, when the Mughal emperor, possibly Akbar, wanted to confer something on the Goswamis of Vrindavan, they requested the emperor's order that no living beings would be killed within Braj. As a result of this, no king would come to hunt there anymore. The disciple of Lokanath Goswami, Narottam Das Thakur Mahasaya, Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami's disciple, Srinivas Acharya Prabhu, and the disciple of Hriday Chaitanya, Sri Shama Nanda Prabhu, were greatly favored by Srila Jiva Goswami. Under his tutelage, they studied all the literature of the Goswamis. Later he sent them to preach this knowledge in Bengal. So there's a list of about 20 literatures that Srila Jiva Goswami wrote, and he was born in 1455 Shakabda, 12th day of the bright fortnight in the month of Bhadra, and disappeared 1540, third day of the fortnight, Pausha. Srila Jiva Goswami Ki Jai. Obviously, we're very fortunate to have the teachings of the six Goswamis and Sri Rupa, Sri Sanatan. We heard a little something, a little glorification of Srila Jiva Goswami. You can also see Srila Jiva Goswami's Samadhi and Radha Damodar. And he was considered the most erudite scholar, and bringing the philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam is taught by Sanatan Rupa Goswami, who were taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's in the family. It's all here in Sri Vrindavan Dham that these blessings are available. And so I'm sure in many places throughout the world, people are remembering, oh, today's the appearance day of Srila Jiva Goswami Ki Jai. But sitting in Vrindavan Dham, you feel the impact even more. You feel the six Goswamis behind Prabhupada. We see Rupa and Sanatan composing various Vaishnav literatures, and we see how they instructed and blessed Srila Jiva Goswami to continue the Guru Parampara and give us all the opportunity to... Not only that, we have Srila Prabhupada, who has taken the essence of all these teachings and has presented it in such a wonderful way for our understanding. Because in this age, Kali Yuga, everyone is Shudra, everyone is very fallen and slow in spiritual realization, not very intelligent. But still, by the grace of Guru and Krishna, we've been given this beautiful teaching of the six Goswamis. So we should be very appreciative and offer obeisances to Srila Jiva Goswami Ki. So today is also the appearance day of Lord Vamanadev. Lord Vamanadev Ki Jai. I'm just very falling. I don't know how I can make a summary glorification of Lord Vamanadev, who is the Supreme Lord himself, born to Kashyapa and Aditi. In the eighth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a description how the Lord appeared in his Vishnu form with the chakra, the disc, the conch shell. And in this way, the astonishment of Kashyapa and Aditi seeing the Lord Vishnu being born from me, There's a history, obviously, behind all this, and the Lord appears at different times and different places, and Dasavatar Stotra glorifies all the various incarnations of the Lord. So immediately after appearing as Lord Vishnu, we should not think that one incarnation is less than another, or when Krishna appears, that's the real thing. But when he appears as Matsya Avatar or Vamana, or all the various incarnations, that some are less than others, although they may be more prominent in our teachings and in our history and our immediate surrounding of Vrindavan Dham, we are, by hearing about the Lord's appearance and activities, we no longer see the repetition of birth and death. So by reading and trying to hear and understand why the Lord appears, appreciating his beauty, when the Lord appeared, it's described that all the demigods, the Kinaras, the Gandharvas, there was singing, there was dancing, there was great musical appreciation of the Lord's appearance. And Lord Vamana was awarded various gifts by various great personalities. Probably might be good to read some of the gifts. When the Lord appears, naturally, we like to give various presentations. Modern technology. So the Lord appeared in this material world and assumed the dwarf known as Vamana. It is described that all the sages expressed their jubilation, Kshapa, before they performed the birthday ceremony of Lord Vamana. At that time, the sacred thread ceremony was also performed. The sun god appeared, Brihaspati, the goddess presiding over the earth, also the deity of the heavenly planets, his mother, Lord Brahma, Kuvera, the seven rishis and others. It is described that the Supreme Lord was given, he was wearing a belt made of munja straw, upper garment of deer skin, a sacred thread carrying his hands of an danda, umbrella, water pot, kamandalu. So different descriptions are there of the various presentations by the great personalities which govern the universe for Lord Vamanadeva. And he heard that Bali Maharaj was for performing a sacrifice and all the priests, the descendants of Bhrigu Muni, they're performing Ashwamedha sacrifice. So Bali at the time was the emperor not only of this world but the entire universe. Yeah, so we can't understand the mystic potency. People are bewildered by the scientists' theories following Darwin's suggestion that long time ago we all came from monkeys. But, you know, that the people were very primitive previously and now we're very advanced. And, you know, now we have some intelligence and some human. But it's described in the very beginning, the most intelligent, Lord Brahma, the great sages, the rishis. And time is beyond our imagination. Prabhupada often talks about the frog in the well. The well is 3 feet, 4 feet, and someone tells them about the Atlantic Ocean. Oh, it's huge. Well, okay, maybe it's 6 feet. Okay, 10 feet, be liberal, you know. They have no conception of the universe or the Lord's incarnations or great progenitors, the demigods. So when Lord Vamanadeva appeared at the arena of Bali Maharaj, Bali was very pleased to see. He actually welcomed him as a brahmana. He came as a little brahmachari, brahmana. And the emperors, and although Bali Maharaj was actually from a demonic family, from the Daityas, he was a grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. And he had a great heritage. And so he was very respectful and giving praise to the brahmachari and offering him, say, it is the duty of the monarch or the king to give gifts, offerings, whatever you want, you can ask of me. I can give you a dweep, you know, island, meaning a whole planet. You know, you should ask from me enough so that you're fully satisfied. You never have to go to anyone else to ask anything ever again. You know, he's giving various explanation of the duty of a kshatriya, of a king, to be charitable and to respect Brahminical culture. So there are many nice purports in there as well. And then Lord Vamanadeva, in return, was explaining that, oh, you come from a great heritage of kings who always fulfill their promises, who always do as they say they'll do and give in charity, kind of locking in the deal that, you know, you're going to make a promise and you're going to have to keep it because this is the heritage of the of your family and great reputation and it's your duty. In many ways, Lord Vamana also gave recognition to Bali Maharaj as being of royal and great family heritage from Prahlad Maharaj. So in this way, Bali Maharaj was very pleased by Vamanadeva's appreciation and sweet, gentle talking. He said, so yes, you please, you take from me whatever you like. And then Lord Vamana again went to, he said that, I only want three steps according to my steps, you know. And Balimara says, no, although you are a very wonderful Brahmana, you're very effulgent, very beautiful, but you lack an intelligence. You're like a little child. You don't understand it. When you ask for me something, you'll never have to worry about it ever again. You know, just take whatever you need, as much land, as much whatever gold and possessions you want, I'll give you everything. And then Lord Vamanadeva explaining that even if one possessed everything in the whole universe, if one will never be satisfied unless he has control of his restless mind. Because, you know, one who cannot control the mind, no matter if I have one dweep, then I want another dweep, or if I have 1 million, I want another million. So there's no limit to the amount of gratification that we want, because falsely, we have come in this material world, been forced in a material body, and with this material body and senses, we're thinking, how much can I get in my possession? Every day, let me check my bank account. Yes, very nice. It's growing nicely. The interest went down. Oh my God, the interest went down. You know, I'm losing so much money. So much anxiety is there. So we identify very strongly with the wealth and opulence of this world because it brings us gratification, sense gratification. But ultimately, it brings frustration, anxiety. So Vamanadeva was explaining that I'm not greedy. It's not a duty of the Brahmanas to be greedy and taking more than necessary. That we should learn Brahminical culture, Varnashram, live simple, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, all this Varnashram Dharma is simply meant so that we can live while embodied in this body. We should utilize the body to study Vedanta, to study Srimad Bhagavatam, to worship the deity, to awaken our love for Krishna in our understanding of the goal of life, to return home, back to Godhead. So one should not simply use his energy, his intelligence and time simply how to make money and how to be comfortable in the family. Simple living, high thinking, trying to establish the Varnashram Dharma in such a way that we can actually experience and utilize the human form of life for its ultimate good, to leave this mortal body in Sri Vrindavan Dham. So after the explanation, Bali Maharaj was saying, yes, then I want to fulfill your desire just to be simple and take whatever you want to take. But his priest, his guru, Shukracharya, thought, well, hold on a second here. You know, he's pretending he's a brahmachari, but actually it's Vishnu, the enemy of your family. I mean, you know, Vishnu killed Hiranyaksha, he killed Hiranyakashipu, and that was Prahlad Maharaj's. This is all in your family. And he's here to cheat you. Hari, he'll take everything away. He'll take all your wealth away, your riches away. Then how will you live? Then he was giving Shastra, because he's very intelligent, Shukracharya, giving Shastric reference that if you make promises, as long as you don't say Om, then you can maybe negate it. You know, you don't have to. And plus, if someone's begging and you tell them, I've given everything I have, it's not a lie. You know, he's given various scriptural reasoning why, if you want to back out of this offer that you made, Vamanadeva, you can do so. And here's a scriptural proof for it. And ultimately, after his many intelligent arguments, he says, I advise you to not entertain or give anything to Vishnu. So Bali, he contemplated, thought about the words of his guru, because naturally one should carry out the orders of his spiritual master unhesitatingly and should be enthusiastic. But a spiritual master, a real guru, sometimes people say bogus guru. So that's not a proper term, because a guru is representative of Krishna. And one who represents Krishna, he's a guru. But if one is not representing Krishna or is telling you to not surrender to God, then he's not a guru. He's just basically looking out for himself or looking as a cheater. So Bali Maharaj he decided that, no, I promised Vamanadeva, whether he is the Supreme Lord, and he takes everything away, then this is my, you know, my destiny. I should accept this from the Supreme Lord. And he rejected Shukracharya's proposals, and he decided that I will give you everything. So Lord Vamanadeva, he started expanding himself in his universal form, became very, very big. And the first step, he went throughout the entire universe, higher planets, lower planets. And actually, Bali Maharaj and all the priests who were assembled there were witnessing Lord Vamanadeva showing this Virat Rupa form. And they were seeing the different parts of the Virat Rupa, the hairs as all the herbs, and the veins as the rivers, and many descriptions are there of the Lord's Virat Rupa form. So Bali Maharaj was told by Shukracharya that, yes, in this first step he'll take higher planets, lower planets, second step, he'll take more, I'm not sure where the second step went, but he said, you'll not be able to fulfill your promise. He won't even have three steps to take. So in one sense, that you make a promise that you won't be able to fulfill. And so it came to that, basically. The Lord took everything, and there's still one more step left. What to do with this next step? And then Vasuki, they came and arrested Bali Maharaj because, you know, he made a promise he couldn't keep, and so he was arrested. And although the demons wanted to fight, they did fight, but they were defeated because Lord Vishnu is always on the side of the demigods, on the righteous. So there are many stories throughout the Bhagavatam of the devotees, the demigods fighting with the demonic elements, the demons, and this is also taking place in the pastime of Lord Vamanadeva. And after binding Bali Maharaj, Lord Vamana was very appreciative of the integrity and of the surrender of Bali Maharaj, that he placed his foot, where? On the head of Bali Maharaj. And he made him, gave him the post of eternal doorkeeper. So the entire story is there in Srimad Bhagavatam. And Bali Maharaj is very fortunate that he recognized that simply controlling or having wealth, opulence, a good so-called comfortable life in this material world is not the all in all. That surrender to the Lord and surrender to utilizing this human form of life in such a way that we can achieve the ultimate goal of life, this is the goal. And by chanting the Lord's holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Just like Jiva Goswami, he was very attentive to worshipping his deities. So we also have Shishi Gornitai, Shishi Krishna Balaram, Radha Shama Sundar. We have a Shila of Lord Vamanadeva. So today, at I think 10 o'clock, we'll be offering Abhishek for the Lord during the kirtan, the chanting of the Lord's holy name. So being attentive and being fixed, the way Jiva Goswami was determined not to simply waste his time, he dedicated his energy to serving Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. He dedicated his energy to contemplating and elaborating on the philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam and various other literatures which were composed by the Goswamis under the direction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is the Lord. Lord Vamanadeva came in this age of Kali Yuga as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Lord personally incarnates, to show us, to perform pastimes so we can appreciate, just like Sachi Mata was thinking and meditating on and offering and making offerings to Lord Gauranga. So we should also be thinking how to please Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission? Jare dako tare kaho Krishna upadesh, amara gai guru ho tare desh. That we should spread this teaching of Krishna consciousness throughout the world. Give everyone the benefit. Train, you know, train everyone in the science of Krishna consciousness as it's being taught by the Supreme Lord Himself. And in this way, we make our spiritual master happy. Prabhupada was asked, what will make you happy that you are Krishna conscious? And how to be Krishna conscious? By spreading Krishna consciousness to others, by being enthusiastic to give this teaching, distributing books, chanting the holy name, and associating with devotees, appreciating devotees and their service, rendering service here in the holy Dham, very beneficial. And it's a cleansing process, cheto darpana marjanam, that our heart is covered by dust, by illusion, by ignorance, and by this process of shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, padasevanam, archanam, vandanam, dasyam, sakyam, atmanivedanam, worshipping, hearing and chanting about Krishna, remembering Krishna, worshipping His lotus feet, offering everything, just like Bali Maharaj. He offered everything to the Supreme Lord. So we should follow in the footsteps of Bali Maharaj. He became a Mahajana, just like Lord Brahma, Prahlad, even Bali, considered a Mahajana, because he had the understanding and realization of surrendering everything to the Lord and being fixed in that consciousness and that mentality. Sri Vamana Deva Ki. So just a brief summary, short description of Lord Vamana Deva. And if anyone has anything to add, or any pastimes, or any questions? Anything to... Yes, Prabhu. There's a microphone here. Maybe they're not making a microphone. The Dwadasi. Today is actually known as Vijay. You know, like it means victory. Today, this day is known as Vijay.
Prabhu, yes. When Vamana took his second step, then he cracked in the coverings of the universe, the whole.
Achcha.
And a drop of the causal ocean come.
The Ganga?
And then Brahma, they worshipped it and it became Ganga.
Yes, I probably heard it many times due to Kali Yuga. I know the first step, he covered the entire universe. Second step, he broke the covering of the universe. And the third step ended on Bali Maharaj's head. So we may think, how can we believe such fantastic stories? You know, I mean, but this is where the faith comes in, that the Lord, He has immeasurable power and extraordinary. Otherwise, what is the meaning of God? So God, He can do many things. And we don't, by our limited experience over the past 50, 100 years, or even a few thousand years of recorded history, what do we really know? What happened millions of years ago? And what's to come? So now we have the Shastra to be thankful for. Thank you for that. Anyone else have a question? Okay. Sri Vamana Deva Ki Jai. Sri Jiva Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Gaura Premanandi.